That's this is on. Good morning, good morning, good morning, wherever you are, whatever time it is. God bless you. Love you, appreciate you. So glad you're taking the time to listen, to view this message that I want to do to give us continued spiritual nourishment from God's Word. I miss you as your pastor. I say that every time I do these recordings, but it's true. It's almost unbearable to not have the face-to-face, personal, in-person interaction, something we can look forward to. One day, we pray. I was into the office this week, and Joanne, our secretary there, we were talking, both had our mask on and everything, and I was telling her how much I miss having people in our service miss worship and miss the service and miss our church gathering together. And Joanne, I'm going to tell this on her, she came up with this brilliant idea. She said, you know those cardboard cutouts that they use for the sports stadiums? Said you just should make a picture of a cardboard cutout of all your people and put it in the pews. And that would hopefully tide you over. Well, I would love that. If someone wants to do that, go for it. But that would only be a half-gap measure to having you here personally. I really and truly miss our people and miss being with you. Just miss the personal interaction, and we're all in the same boat. We're kind of isolated. And anyway, we're in some turbulent times. We're in some difficult times. We need to pray like never before. We need to be seeking God and looking for God's working and remembering that God's in control. God is absolutely carrying out His eternal plan for the history of creation, and that includes you and that includes me. And He is so personal to us individually, and yet He sustains this universe and also controls every activity on the face of this earth. So thank you. God bless you. Before we get started with the message today, I just kind of felt I wanted to give you a verse for the week. I was going to say a verse for the day. But every morning, the first thing I look at on my phone is YouVision Bible verse of the day. And it was yesterday, actually, this verse. And I thought, that verse is a verse for what we need right now. We can remember it every week. It's Psalm 46:1. The whole psalm is good to read. Read it every day. But Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. God is our refuge and our strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. So I commend that for you to have as your verse. Read it or remember it every single day this week. Next Sunday I'll have another verse for the coming week as God leads. Okay, so before we begin, we're going to jump in back to the Sermon on the Mount today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we acknowledge You as the God of all creation, the only true and living God, the God who is real, the God who exists, the God who is in control, the God who sustains this universe and this planet Earth and all the inhabitants of it. You created it, You've ordained it, You sustain it, You control it. God, You are working out Your eternal plan for all creation, including all humankind. And Lord, You know every individual on the face of this earth. You always have, You always will, until You come again and make a new heaven and a new earth. So Lord, we submit to You today. We call upon You today. We worship You today. We pray for every single household and every single person that's a part of our congregation, everyone who's listening or watching right this moment, wherever they are, whatever time of day or night or week. Lord God, bless them. I pray for healing of our nation, healing of those suffering from the virus. We pray for a soon end to this pandemic. We pray for the needs of every single person, an individual. Lord, there's so much about which we need to pray. We need to be in prayer constantly for our world, for our nation, for our community, for our families, for our lives. And Lord, for our church and the church of Jesus Christ that would be rising up and saying, being strong in these crisis times. So thank you, Lord. Lord, ask you to bless this message today and bless it, Lord, to encourage someone, to speak to someone's heart, to minister to anyone and everyone who listens or views. So thank you, Lord. I commit myself to you in this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are going to resume our series from the Sermon on the Mount. But we're going to skip just a little bit briefly. We were in the Beatitudes, and we got all the Beatitudes except one, the Beatitude that deals with blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. We're going to deal with that next Sunday, because I want to skip ahead just a couple of verses, and I want to read the verses that the Lord kind of laid on my heart, with respect to what I'm going to call a mandate for 2021. A mandate for 2021 for us who are believers, for us who are the Church of Jesus Christ, is kind of a message from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ, is here's what I want you to strive to be. There's a lot of things we can be, there's a lot of things we can do, but as we're going through the Gospel of Matthew, we find in the timing of events a message from our Lord. Not only is it a general message for all time, but specifically for our hearts to concentrate on for this year, perhaps. So we're going to look at beginning verse 13 through 16. And I want to just reiterate, I always use just the NIV translation, the NIV version, King James. Some of the words are a little different. If you have another New American Standard, it might be a little different, but the meaning is exactly the same. So you can check out the NIV, even the new NIV. But this communicates for me, and it captures the very literal essence of what Jesus said. So Matthew chapter 5, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus is finished with the Beatitudes. He's starting the body content of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is the first thing he says before he gets, as he enters the body content of the message. You, speaking to all who are listening, specifically his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. Then he gives commentary on that spiritual truth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world, spiritual truth. Now commentary, Jesus says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In other words, it makes use for what it was intended for. It accomplishes its intended purpose. In the same way, let your light shine before all persons, men, generic, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Praise who when they see the good deeds that we do in respect to our society and community in which we live? They praise the Father because the Father shines through because Christ has filled our lives and the good deeds emanate from our relationship with Him. All right, let's talk about these. The mandate for 2020 is to be salt and light. Let's talk about that for a minute. Those who are followers of Christ, how should we understand the metaphors used by Jesus to give this mandate to his disciples? That's what I want you to be. The salt of the earth, the light of the world. Let's look at that first definition of those terms. And you've heard this before, I'm sure, the vast majority. Salt, a metaphor used for what Jesus' disciples are to be. Salt was used in Jesus' time and many times a preservative as well as enhancing the taste of certain foods. Salt's qualities and characteristics, used as metaphorically, represent that which contributes to the preservation of all that is good. It's a preservative. It keeps things. My grandpa in Arkansas had a smokehouse, grandma and grandpa, and they would hang ham sides of meat in that smokehouse. But they would salt it down to preserve it as it smoked, as it cured. And it was so good when they were ready to bring it out and actually cook it for dinner. Salt is a preservative, a preservation. It represents all that is good here in this metaphorical use by Jesus. All that is right and righteous and holy. It represents that which is sacred and upholds that which preserves life. It represents that which is decent and honorable and gives respect and dignity to the society in which we live. Salt is that which contributes to making society on the whole a better place on this earth, a better environment, a better existence, more peaceful, more loving, more giving. Salt is that substance which contributes to creating an environment of thriving encouragement, comfort, and support. It is that which emboldens hopes, dreams, and success in life in the truest definition of the words. Now you can go back through, that's my interpretation of what the metaphorical reference of salt. What does it mean to be salt? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. What is he talking about? He wants us to be instruments that contribute to the preservation of society, to the good taste of society, to all that is right, that is good, that is healthy, that is beneficial, that is fulfilling, that is enjoyable. We're to contribute to that kind of environment. When we, as his disciples, born again, filled with his Spirit, go out and circulate and interact, which we will do, which we have done, society should be better. We should preserve what is the best of society, what is right in society, what is good in society, what is healthy in society, not rotten, not decaying, not putrid, not penetrated with mold, but beautiful and fresh and good, that which tastes wonderful in respect to all that God ordained that we should do, be and do, and society should be and do. The second metaphor is light. Now this is very interesting and very powerful. Jesus said, you are not only also the salt of the earth, you are also the light of the world. Goodness gracious, what is light? Light is a metaphor that represents that which dispels darkness, that which illuminates reality. You see, in proper light, we see that which actually is. We see the truth of a situation. Shed light on this to discover and understand the truth of what really is. That's so valuable. Light brings vision and therefore knowledge of what is actually true. Not rumor, not propaganda, not delusionment, but truth. Truth is critical for administering justice. Truth is critical and essential for establishing honesty, for creating safety, for establishing credibility and reliability. We need the truth. Truth is necessary for building trust and therefore for entering genuine relationship. I could go on and on about the significance, the importance of the necessity of truth. And the only way we have truth is if darkness is dispelled and we have the light of the truth. You are the light of the world. What does that mean? We shed light on what is absolutely true. What is the truth? These are strong metaphors that speak to the essential qualities which every Christian, every follower of Jesus Christ is to bring to the society and the circle of their influence where they live and the environment in which we've been given to live out our lives. There's kind of three parts to these instructions by Jesus. He gives us the spiritual truth. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Then he gives us some commentary. So he states what we are. And in the commentary, he states, don't reject what you are. Live out what you are. And he gives those illustrations. It's if salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing. So if we're not beings, the salt of the earth, in the respect of which Jesus instructed us, then we're really kind of good for nothing. We're not fulfilling what he desired for us to be. You're the light of the world. But if you hide your light, it's incongruous to put a light under a bushel. To light, you know, when the power goes off at night and we light candles or we light a lamp, we don't cover them up. That doesn't make sense. Neither does it make sense when the light of the life of Jesus Christ enters our life that we cover ourselves up or that we shrink back or that we deny what we are and who we are. And then he says, always use it for the glory of God. That who might be praised when they see and when they're made better, when their lives are in a sense made better by your relationship with them as salt of the earth and light of the world, who is to get the praise? The Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will praise and glorify your Father in heaven. You say, if someone says, you know, I appreciate your friendship so much. I appreciate what you give so much. You say, I appreciate you appreciating that. But I just want you to know that my love and care and compassion or the giving or whatever, if I have benefited or contributed to your best, it's because of Christ in my life. That's the best witness we could give. And give God the glory for it and the praise for it. Just briefly, how can I, as a follower of Christ, insert these qualities, salt and light, into the circle of influence that I have on this earth? And every one of us have some kind of circle of influence. It's easy. Be consumed with Christ. Be consumed with Christ. That's a whole separate message, so to speak. It's not just the teaching of Jesus. These teachings will be fulfilled when we're consumed with Jesus, when we belong to Christ, when Christ lives through our life. We'll only be able to be salt and light. Now, so we know what we are. We know we shouldn't reject it. We should step into it and let Christ live it out through us and then give God the glory for it. But a couple of things, one qualifying significance and one serious caution. First qualifying significance. We probably didn't notice the definite article. In the way Jesus stated the spiritual truth. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The is a definite article. A, if the words had been translated, you are a salt, that's indefinite. But the translator, the writer, the gospel writer, took the words of Jesus and used a definite article, which means exclusivity. You are the salt of the earth. The light of the world. That's the definite article. The use of the signifies that there is, according to Jesus, a primary exclusiveness to those who are his disciples. Not better than, but with respect to what we bring to the earth and to the world and to our circle of influence. There is a kind of exclusivity as we represent Christ. We become the salt of the earth. Not just a kind of salt or another kind of salt. Not just a kind of light or another kind of light or one of many lights. are many flavors of salt. No, we're the salt of the earth, the light of the earth. Why is that? It's not because we're special, it's because Christ is special. When Christ is in us, He's the salt and the light that gives flavor, that shines through. Remember what He told His disciples right before He went to Gethsemane and then to the cross in John 14? Billy Graham had this verse on his marquee every crusade around the world, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am a way, I'm a truth, I'm a light, life. No, definite article. The way, the only way, the only truth, the only life. Exclusivity. There are lots of other ways, there's lots of other truth, so to speak, and philosophies of life, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when He comes into our heart as our Lord and Savior, receiving the Holy Spirit, and His Spirit lives through us, we become the salt, the light, and the truth. So salt and truth represent ultimate values and ultimate truth. Salt and light represent ultimate values and ultimate truth, and those come directly from Jesus Christ in our lives. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the true and living God, is the ultimate source of what is truly of value and what is the ultimate source of what is absolute truth. So we allow Christ to live through our lives. We should always reflect His nature and character according to the Word of God. So that's the, what did I call that? That's the qualifying significance. Now, what about the caution? The caution is in the manner of presentation. Do you know, I'm sure you do, let me just bring it to our mind, too much salt all at once is disgusting. It's overbearing. It ruins the taste. Too much salt ruins food. I always used to tell my wife, sweetheart, you're putting too much salt, until she kind of got upset with me. Let me put as much as I want. We would get some French fries, which are already salty, but she would put more salt on those. And I would think that would be kind of overbearing, but she liked it. But too much salt. Lynn and I were in our 20s in Waco, Texas, in a church, Westwood Baptist Church. We were teaching the young marrieds in Sunday school. And so this new young married couple, precious, sweet couple, two girls were married to twin brothers who played football. They were huge guys. This young couple wanted to have our class and the pastor and the church and everybody over to their house for a ice cream social. Homemade ice cream social. Now, I don't really care for ice cream that much, but homemade ice cream is a whole different story. I could eat a gallon of that stuff. And in Texas, and ice cream, homemade ice cream socials, I mean, we even had those in Bakersfield, and you've probably had those too. Homemade ice cream, nothing better. I could eat a gallon. So we went to this young couple's house, and she had made even a couple of gallons of homemade ice cream, and we were all there, and it was just a wonderful time. We all dipped our portions and our bowls, and we started to eat. And almost simultaneously, everyone began to kind of look around as they started to eat their homemade ice cream. And everyone almost had kind of the same expression on their face. Something is dreadfully wrong. Long story short, her husband discovered what had happened. She had replaced sugar with salt. This young bride was trying so hard. She was so intense that she got the salt confused with the sugar confused with salt. So she made homemade ice cream with salt instead of sugar. Have you ever had homemade ice cream with nothing but salt? It's disgusting. And we felt so bad for her. And we tried to comfort her. And I don't know what we did, but some of us went ahead and ate as much as we could tolerate. See, we must have wisdom and sensitivity for applying the just right amount of salt. If you become overbearing, and you and I have been around some overbearing Christians or disciples who, oh, they're passionate and they're intense and they're so into certain something or other that they become overbearing and they almost turn you off. And they turn other people off, especially those who are non-believers. So we must use the right amount. Ask God for wisdom to be the right amount of salt. Just come alongside people, love them, care for them, be kind, be generous, be offering and giving. Same thing, too much light. Have you ever had too much light shine in your face? I got a little tiny flashlight, little powerful flashlight, just to go outside on my patio to see. You know, it's supposed to also, it flashes in case an intruder is, you know, present. Well, my grandson got a hold of the flashlight and he proceeded to do what all little kids like to do. He shined it right in my eyes. He found me out and he hung or he snuck around the corner and shined it. And I said, Becky, put that away. Can't take it. See, we must have wisdom and knowledge to show and shed light in the best portions at the best illumination for every situation. Due discretion. Follow the mind of Christ. Too much light shown too quickly can be blinding and render the opportunity useless, even discomforting, and will turn people away. Don't shine that light. So don't come across as a self-righteous, I've got it all together, I know more than you do. These cautions must not prohibit us, however, from being disciples of Jesus that he called us to be. To go out into our circle of influence, in our society, in this world, wherever he sends us, wherever we're planted, wherever we circulate, to be salt and light. Be the preservative of the person of Christ, let him live through us, and be the light that helps dispel darkness. For a decaying and darkened world, we need to be that salt and light. Every disciple must seek to be led by the Spirit of Christ, with the heart and mind of Jesus, to live as salt and light. The values, uphold the values and the truth of Jesus Christ during all of our life on this earth. So I conclude. It goes without saying, and you obviously understand this, but I'll say it anyway, no one can be salt and light on their own. We can't represent and reflect Jesus Christ unless we have Christ living in our life. So I get a little nervous when I hear people say, well, I follow the teachings of Jesus. That's wonderful, but being a disciple of Jesus is more than following his teachings. It is that, but it's having the living Lord inside our lives, being born again by the Spirit of God, and our spirit infused with the Holy Spirit because of our faith in Jesus, and now he's alive within us, and he's living through us, and he's affecting our thought, our worldview, our morals, our ethics, our actions, our attitudes. We can't carry out this mandate unless we have this operating knowledge of who he is and of him living through us, teaching us and growing us. And we don't do this perfectly. Nobody does. But we're humbly seeking to let our lives be his representation of salt and light in the world that we live in. So we need a personal saving love relationship with Jesus Christ and a working knowledge of his word. That's why I teach you this as best that I can under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the authority of God. Because it's not my word that is salt and light, it's his word, and it's Jesus himself. And that will be what I will suggest to you is our mandate. Let's do that for 2021. It's a long way. It's a long way. It's a long time. We just started. We just started this new year. But it's a perfect time to say, you know what? I'm going to do my best. Right now, we're all shut down and everything, but that will end one day. And there's a lot going on in this world today. You and I know it. In our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world. More than ever. More than ever. I might say we've always needed to be salt and light, but I'll say more than ever today, believers in Jesus Christ, born again, filled with God's Spirit, need to allow our lives to be His salt and His light. Preserve the values that belong to Jesus, that Jesus lived, and be the light of the world that was the truth of Christ in the world that we live in today. Now, if we take that seriously, we will encounter some pushback. That's what I'm going to talk about next Sunday. That's the ninth beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of me, Jesus said. We'll talk about that next Sunday. So I want to leave you with this. I'm not going to sing a hymn like I usually do, but I want to encourage you to listen. If you're watching this on YouTube, all you have to do is click the search and look up the chorus, "Here I Am to Worship." Chris Tomlin sings it. Hillsong worshipers sing it. "Here I Am to Worship." The first phrase of "Here I Am to Worship," it's an older chorus, but it's beautiful, is, "Light of the world, you step down into darkness, opened our eyes that we see." It's a beautiful chorus. And then a newer one that's just been fairly recent is a song called "Waymaker." You've got to listen to that. It was recorded by a group called Leland and also by Michael W. Smith. It's called "Waymaker." Waymaker. Please listen to it and worship to it. "Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to lift up His name." And then "Waymaker" by Michael W. Smith. One by Chris Tomlin and Michael W. Smith. Okay? So that's your song for the day. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for this time together with these precious folks. Lord, we love them. You love them. I pray for every single individual, every single day. I pray for my congregation. Lord, I pray for this world. I pray for our nation. I pray, God, for the Church of Jesus Christ around the world. We need to stand up strong and be salt and light in a darkened and decaying world. Oh, God, help us. Lord, I pray for healing for those that are sick. I pray for those in the hospitals fighting the virus. Lord, I pray for families. I pray, Lord, for communities. Lord, I pray for churches. I pray for believers. And I pray for the lost to be saved, to know Jesus Christ. And I pray for every single person listening or viewing this message today. God, bless their life specifically, especially wherever they need you this week. And Lord, help them know how much they're loved. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.